Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Casa Connection podcast. It is great to be in your ears, whether you are listening to this in the morning, afternoon, evening, if you are in your car or on your treadmill or just in your house chilling out. It's great to be in your ears. I am Jeff Warren. Tracy is not with us on this episode, as we have a very, very special, very special guest. You heard the little laugh right there. And, love the laugh, because, you know, inevitably, it is a great, great story that we want to bring to you again on this Casa Connection podcast. I am here with one of our Casa family members, Kristen Castellanzi. Did I get it right?
Yeah, you did.
I was kind of right.
You did. You got it.
I was telling, just to pull back the curtain a little bit, folks, I was telling Kristen right before we hit the record button that I mess up the name Smith at times. So I'm happy that I got it at least semi-correct. So Kristen, thank you so much for coming on the Casa Connection podcast here on this episode. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you because you have quite a story. Yeah. And we wanted to share your story on our podcast so that other folks could gain some more recognition, gain some more education, some more knowledge about what it is like. You are not a CASA volunteer. You are, and I don't want to use the word simply a mother, because no, it's not simple being a mother or a parent at all. I certainly know that as a parent, but you are a mother. You are a mother who had a story and has a story. You are a mother who did have their child taken from them. Your child was put into foster care. And I don't know. We just very much appreciate you taking the time to tell us your story, because we think it can help others.
And if it can, I hope it can, because so people don't realize how fast and easy it can happen.
Yeah.
And believe me, if you knew me 10 years ago, I'm the last person that you would think that sort of thing would happen to.
Well, let's go back 10 years. You know, let's go back 10 years. Where were you at 10 years?
10 years ago, let's see, I was 23.
Okay.
Okay, so I just started with my addiction.
Okay.
So let's go back maybe 11 years, 22 or whatever. You know, before that, I was working at a daycare.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually taking classes. There was talk of me and the owner's daughter owning, like taking over the daycare. Like, things were going really good.
You were the consummate professional.
Yeah.
You were an individual who was on a path of doing good things, doing great professional work in the community, helping other children.
And it was great. And I loved it. I loved my job. I had a great job. Like, it was great. And then, you know, me and my friends just, I mean,
got into a little something, right?
Yeah. Like, we would party. And then we got into pills. And And it's so messed up, because our thought process was, if we can get messed up without drinking and having the calories, then we're good.
There you go.
Right? Mm-hmm. And thinking a little pill here and there is not going to hurt. But then you go from one day a week to 2 days a week to three. And then before you know it, this is expensive.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's try something else.
Yeah, okay. So then you started exploring other avenues and other paths.
And that went on about like 6 months.
Okay.
And I realized it. Like, this is not good. I realized I started getting sick.
Okay.
So I'm like, I got to stop. And I thought it would be as simple as I stop and that's it.
And at this point, let's pause for a second. At this point, did you have your daughter?
No. I was 22, 23.
Okay.
So for 6 months, I thought, I'm not like a heroin addict.
Right, right.
You know?
Right.
So
you were justifying it.
I went through, you know, I did cold turkey 3 days, but then I couldn't stop crying.
Yeah.
My boss noticed Kristen's miserable. Her and her friend, the girl I worked with.
Yeah.
They're both miserable. Asking my dad, because she knew my dad, Kristen's miserable. What's going on? You know? So more time went on and I was clean for a little. And then I relapsed and things got worse. And I forget why I ended up stopping working.
Okay.
I honestly forget why. But, you know, so then I was like, honestly, between 23 and 20 or 33, I've been clean on and off. Like, I'd be clean 9 months and then relapse and then be clean another 9 months. And then so that went on for like 10 years. And then about 3 years ago, I started dating Kelly's dad.
Okay.
Now, mind you,
Kelly's your daughter.
Kelly's my daughter. Yep. I got clean. This is summer 2018. I got clean. I was clean. A lot of stuff happened. I had to handle myself. I got clean. I'm like, I'm going to stay. Her dad at the time was in a halfway house who I have known from years ago.
Okay.
So we knew each other and he was clean. So I thought, he wants to be clean. I'm clean. We'll be okay.
Right, right.
Well, he came home.
And things happened.
Within a month.
Yep.
You know, and then probably about 7 months later, I got pregnant. And we were happy about it. We were using, but at the same time, we were happy.
Right, right.
And right away, I was like, okay, I'm done. And I stopped using. And I was clean my whole pregnancy. There was no problem. Right. I'm like, this is great. I don't even want to use, you know, whatever. And I thought that feeling would stay.
Right.
You know, but then I had her.
But of course, other stressors of a child.
Well, he put me through so much.
Okay.
While I was pregnant.
Okay.
I mean, I was honestly living in a trap house when I was pregnant. And I was the only clean person. We were supposed to move from where we were into a better place, but then it was like me and about 5 or 6 addicts.
Yeah.
So I would like stay in my room, keep to myself. Mind you, I'm the only one working, the only one putting food in this place.
Right.
And they're all, it was terrible.
Okay.
But I got through it.
Yeah.
I got through it.
You had Kelly.
You know, I had Kelly.
Yes.
She was in the NICU. Well, let's start because I'm on methadone.
Okay.
Maintenance. When you're on methadone maintenance and you have a child, Difus sort of gets involved right away. Not like you don't automatically have an open case, but they come in just to see, like, to make sure everything's okay.
Right.
Like where
right.
you're at.
Yep.
And I was good because I was clean my whole pregnancy. But because her dad was using and he was not clean.
Because of that association.
And I wanted him involved.
Yep.
They said, you know, well, we'll give him till she's out of the NICU, because she did have to stay in the NICU for 5 weeks.
Okay.
So they're like, give us one clean urine and we won't open a case. Well, he couldn't do that.
Okay.
So they opened a case.
Yep.
So then it was like, okay. And I was like using here and there. Not much though.
Right.
You know, I was like, I can't, you know, because Difus is watching me.
Right, right.
But then in December that year, December 2020, I had found out that Nick had cheated on me multiple times while I was pregnant. A lot of stuff was happening, and I just was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and my friend was like, hey, do you want to, you know? And I'm like, of course, you know? I was sad and upset and
And that's what you went to.
And
that's what you went to, yeah.
So that happened, and maybe like 2 weeks later, I had gotten in an argument with my mom. Me and Kelly went to over her dad's house, and our argument was about going over her dad's house.
Okay.
And I didn't think she wanted me and Kelly to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So we stayed at my, you know, her dad's house.
Okay.
And my mom was like, well, thought I didn't want to come home. Like, instead of us talking.
Right.
You know,
and
so
communicating.
She didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So she called Difus.
Okay.
And at first I was so mad at her.
Right.
I'm like, I'm never going to forgive her. I thought she was doing it maliciously to like get back at Nick or whatever, her, Kelly's dad.
Yeah.
And, I think she just, and she'll tell you now, like, she just didn't know what to do because she knew I was using. She knew it wasn't a good place for Kelly, but she didn't know what to do. And she's like, I didn't know they were going to take her.
Right, right.
And I'm like, well, they also didn't know I had 2 dirty urines.
Right.
And I didn't know the people I was living in the house with had all these background problems.
Right. Oh, geez.
Because then
so
that night when she called, I got nervous. I'm like, they're going to take her, you know? So I tried to avoid it for a while, but I was at the time using. Like, Kelly was always taken care of. She was never neglected.
Right.
Never not taken care of.
But not in the safest place.
But not in the safest place because I'm using and I should not have been using.
Right.
And so they came and they're like, we're going to do background checks on everybody. And they told me that ahead of time. So I said to everybody there, they're doing background checks on you guys. And they're all like, oh, okay. Well, mind you, they do background checks. Two of the girls had opened Difus cases. The one guy was like a sexual predator.
Gosh.
And I'm like, oh, my, I didn't know.
Gosh. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, all these things are happening. And that night, they're like, we got to take her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is happening. So she went. We took her. They ended up, we dropped her off at my sister's.
Okay.
I didn't go there that night because I was just such a hot mess. I stayed at the house. And Difus did say, you know, if you sister will let you stay there, because they said I needed like 24 hours supervision until, like, I don't know, it was clean for a while or whatever.
Yeah.
My sister said no. So at first she was going to go with my sister. And at first I thought, well, this is good. I can see Kelly. Well, they tried cutting me off right away.
Yeah.
I don't want her here because the judge even said I could have as many visits as I want if they'll let me up there. They said, no, she can't come here. Mm. So I'm like, great. And my sister wouldn't talk to me because she didn't know how to handle it.
Right.
You know, and then my mom was upset because I was like, I don't want her near my mom. You know, I was mad. It was terrible. So that was like that for maybe like a month. And I couldn't, I was like, I'm going to have to fight my sister because they wanted to adopt her. They asked me to give my rights up. And I said, no, I'm not giving my rights up. Like, I want this kid.
Right.
You know? So about like a month later, I had thought about talking to my caseworker saying, I don't want her with my sister.
Yeah.
Because of the tension it's causing. Like, my sister did not know how to separate loving her temporarily.
Right.
If it was permanent, it would have been one thing.
Right, right.
But temporarily. So, mind you, she must have been having the same feelings because a couple days after I was talking to Kelly's dad about this, my sister called me and said, listen, I can't keep Kelly.
Right.
She said, you know, she's like, I can't go through all this. And then you come and take her back.
Right.
Because it was causing a problem on their marriage. Because I'm her sister, but her husband was mad at me.
Right.
And then my nephew, he couldn't understand, well, why is Kelly here? But Kristen isn't.
Right.
You know, it was just a lot. So she couldn't. So I was like, honestly, I didn't want her with you anyway. I hate being like that because, you know, my sister, she's a great role model, but for us anyway, and I know they always want family, 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 but for us, it was so much better with her not being with family.
And in that moment, so much confusion going on for you, for your family, and ultimately too, for Kelly, you know, and then
thankfully she was only 4 months.
Right.
So I mean,
right.
She knew, but didn't at the same time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then she went with her resource mom family.
Yep.
And the resource, I was so worried about it. Even though I wanted it to happen, I was like worried about it. And then they said, well, we got the best person, blah, blah, blah. She adopted 2 kids and this and that. And let me tell you, her resource mom was amazing. I mean, we still talk.
Yeah.
Like her
still
resource
have a great
mom.
Relationship.
We do.
Yeah.
And like Kelly still will go see them sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and they got really close. And, you know, towards the end, we were like just face to face talking. Yeah. We had numbers. I mean, we had such a good thing going on.
Right.
I didn't even like consider her a resource, you know.
It's like she was a friend of yours.
Yeah. You know, it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you know, even now she'll ask me, you know, how Kelly is. And it's hard on her kids because they're like 5 and 6.
Yeah.
So they don't fully get it and they get really upset, you know?
Yep. Yep.
So they don't see her often, but I talk to her, you know, like every so often, just, you know, she wants to see how it's going and, you know, this and that.
Well, if we can pivot a little bit, if we can pivot to how CASA came into the equation, because, you know, as many out there who are listening to this know, you know, we train just community volunteers who advocate for children who are going through the foster care system and who are living in resource homes, you know, whether they are with family or whether it's with you know, not family members. Right. So how did CASA come into play for Kelly and even you?
Well, I think they came in with, because Kelly being 4 months, she cannot advocate, obviously, for herself.
Has no voice. Yes.
So she has no voice.
Right.
You know, so.
Literally and figuratively.
Somebody
yes.
needs to advocate for her.
Right.
And that's where you guys stepped in.
Yes.
And at first I thought it was the court that appointed it. Like, like she was from the court, you know, and everybody would be like, don't talk to her. Don't do this. Don't do that. And I'm like, why? Like, why am I going to? I don't want to hide stuff from people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So when did Wendy, I think it was like around May.
Wendy was the CASA volunteer.
Yeah. Yes. And she, maybe it may have even been April, Wendy, the CASA volunteer, you know, she was like, she just wanted to get like my side of the story, see where I'm at, you know, this and that. So we would talk and she would go see Kelly. I think, I don't know if it was once a week.
Once a month.
Or so.
Yeah, once
but
a month,
she would go to Kelly's, you know, the resource home and see Kelly and talk to me. And she also wanted to talk to Kelly's dad, but I don't think he ever talked to her.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, with me, and at first, you know, people were like, well, watch what you say, because she's Kelly's advocate. You know, like, she's going to, and I'm like, but if I'm just talking normal.
If you're being honest.
Why would you take her from me? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, so, you know, now we would talk, and she was so helpful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was just like, if I needed anything or if I was having any problems, I mean, it was almost like therapy in a sense.
Right.
You know, and then even she helped throughout. I mean, the whole time, even now when I, like, we moved in here in January.
Yes.
So in December, you know, between Tracy and Wendy.
Tracy's our executive director. Right. Yes. Yep.
And Wendy from you guys.
Yep.
You guys literally furnished my house, you know, and she was so helpful. I think Wendy donated some of her own stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't even know, but it was, I mean, so awesome. Like, yeah.
It's what CASA does. Helpful. Because in the end, we do what we do for children, and what we do for children ends up helping families as well. And I, and that is, that's the power of CASA, and you're, and you have lived it.
And it's amazing. Yeah. And I even actually, gave Tracy's number to a girl I work with because she needed help.
Yeah.
You know, getting some stuff. And, you know, Tracy was like, oh, well, I can help her, you know.
Yeah.
And I tell people about it all the time because I'm like, these people, you know, they help.
Yes, yes. Because inevitably, at the end of the day, we want children to be safe. We want them to be in a safe atmosphere and environment, and inevitably to reach permanency.
Yeah.
Permanency is the end goal. We want children.
And I just got there.
Yeah. We want children to be with their biological parents or parent.
People don't under, like, I know they have a bad rap. Everybody, DIFUS, whatever, has a bad rap.
Who is separate from us.
And it's separate. It's not the same. But everybody that helped throughout that, like, you know, DCPMP, you guys, you know, even keeping families together. I was on that program for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was so helpful. I didn't feel like anybody was against me. I didn't feel like they were trying to take Kelly.
Right.
And I just came to found that as long as I'm honest about things and it's not like little things coming out of the woodwork or this and that, as long as I'm honest, you know, because they have all said, you know, even when I was using, you're so nice. I'm like, well, you know, or Kelly was still taken care of.
Right.
But, you know, you can't, you know.
I mean, aside from the honesty, it was your desire to to have your child back.
And I hate hearing people that, you know, they don't get their kid back. Or like a girl I know, she was just talking to me actually yesterday. Her son's 12 and the grandparents ended up adopting him. But now the grandparents kind of turned him against her.
Okay.
I hate hearing that. Because I'm like, because she wanted to be involved. She's been clean for 8 years.
Yeah.
She's like, I want to be involved. But the grandparents... Yeah. You know, and I'm like, that makes me so upset because if a parent wants to be involved.
Absolutely.
You know, like I'm having that issue with Kelly's dad. Like he says he wants to be involved, but you know where we're at. You know, but.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day, she has me.
She has and you honestly, at the end of the day. Yes.
At the end of the day, she, I'm all she needs.
Yes. Absolutely. You
know? And she, we're doing great. This girl was not affected at all, thankfully. Right. But it was very. We tried to keep it as normal as possible, you know, going through all that stuff.
Absolutely.
But if I didn't have the help with you guys or, you know, even DCPMP, honestly, I don't know where it'd be.
Yeah. Well, it's an incredible story. And we thank you so much for sharing your story with us here on the CASA Connection.
To help.
And yes. And, but as we're closing things out here, Kristen, if there was a lesson that you could provide somebody, if you know, because you were so kind again to invite us into your home here to talk about your story, but if there's a lesson or something that you could give to others who are listening to this in terms of the life lesson, like what would that be?
It would be not to give up. Because it is.
Yes.
And you do go through those times where you're like, you know, things are difficult or, you know, you do something and then it's like, well, I'll do this, do that, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, when's this going to end?
Yeah.
Or even like getting into housing, let's say.
Yeah.
It took time. Everything took time and it was frustrating and I'd get frustrated and I'd be like, this is why people give up, you know? Yeah. But if you don't, if you really, really want your kid or whatever, don't give up. Fight and honesty.
That is
that's the big thing. Fight and the honesty.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Because fantastic.
That's the best, you know. The best way to do it.
That's the best way to do it.
You know?
And what a great way to end this CASA Connection podcast. Kristen, thank you so much again for inviting us into your home, telling your story.
Thank you.
It's going to make a difference. Absolutely. It's going to make a difference in some folks' lives out there.
I really do.
Folks, you can subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on, and also head on over to casashaw.org. We have a resource page, fantastic resources over there for children, for families, for different culture aspects within our community. Again, casashaw.org. And if you would like to reach out to our CASA program and want any information, info@casashaw.org is where you can reach us. And our executive director, Tracy, will respond to your email. And that's going to do it for us. We will catch you on the next CASA Connection episode. Take care now.